Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on the last day of May. It is May 31st, and glad that you tuned in. We begin our vacation Bible school tonight at 6 o'clock. The church has been transformed all around here, and they're going to decorate the sanctuary after service. But it'll be transformed into a rainforest as the kids come in each night from 6 to 8, from tonight all the way through Thursday night, to learn more about the love of God and the truths of God within His Word. And so I hope your kids can come on out to it. And if you don't have kids or grandkids that are here, one thing you could do is pray for it. And we have over 80 kids, I think, that are going to be coming and being a part of this. So pray that they would hear something. Maybe some of them are even coming as friends of others who go to the church, and this is the first time maybe they hear about the Lord. So pray for our VBS as it's happening. We had a wonderful Cove dedication last Sunday night, and there's going to be different ministries throughout the summer that the youth are going to have. They're planning right now a Adventureland in Des Moines, Iowa trip for June. You want to get in on that. If you haven't registered your kids for Camp Boy, it's the last possible weeks, but make sure you register them. Covenant Cedars, that's happening. And then we have our baptism service coming up in the mid-July. And please talk to me or Pastor Jessica or Pastor Tobias in the next week or so if you're interested, because we're going to have a couple little classes where people can learn more about what baptism is and what this new life in Christ they want to walk. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you've just never been baptized. This is a chance for you. We're going to have that service. And so talk to us in the next week or two if you are interested in being baptized. All right. Our sermons, you know, for the summer are going to be on the fruit of the Spirit. Can you remember, or do you already know the nine fruit of the Spirit? Can you say them? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. They're also the character of Jesus Christ that God wants to grow more of in our life. Last week we began this series with an introduction. I looked at the scripture in Galatians 5, 16 to 25 there, where the nine fruit of the Spirit are listed. And I looked at the verses even around them, which were all a call for us to live our life in Christ by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit and not our flesh, not giving in to all our selfish wants or evil desires when they come up and tempt us, but to keep our eyes on Jesus and to walk by His Spirit every day, the Spirit that He gives us. And that Spirit will lead us in an obedient life in Christ and will empower us to be able to do it. I gave the example last week of when I mowed lawns in high school, you know, for extra income there, and how I went to mow this lawn of an older couple in our church, and they let me use their mower because I, you know, it was easier. I didn't have to bring mine in. But the problem was I had never seen their kind of mower before. Well, I got it started. But as I began to push that thing around the lawn, it was so heavy, it was almost like you couldn't even budge it. It was the hardest thing I had ever pushed. It was killing me, and the grass looked so terrible behind me that I had gone over, and I'm wondering, what am I doing wrong? When all of a sudden, bursting out of the house was the owner there, the man of the house that I was working for, and he said, "You got to put it in gear, pull up on the bar," you know. Well, as soon as I did that, as you guys all know, the mower just, you know, it just takes off and it becomes from the hardest mower ever to the easiest mower I had ever pushed. The power that was in it, it made all the difference. and the lawn looks so much better. Well, I compared that to the Christian life. You see, the Christian life is not an easy life. I wouldn't say that, but it's a whole lot lighter, and it's only really possible through the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. God has given us the Spirit. We're invited to do a life with the Lord, to rely and depend on Him and the power of the Spirit to change our heart and to guide our steps every day. We need the Holy Spirit to live an obedient and fruitful life for God. We need His help every day, His guidance, His little nudges here or there, you know, that He's guiding us, His word, which leads us and teaches us. Last Sunday, we looked even at John 15, where Jesus said, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." So the fruit of the Spirit, we were learning, is not just 9 more things that we got to try to muster up the will to do now. No, it is God's work in our life. It's what He does in us as we remain connected to Him every day. He makes us into a more loving person. He fills our life with greater patience and gentleness and peace instead of worry. It is Christ in me that does it. Our job, just to abide in Him, stay in His word, prayer around other believers, and keep in step to where He's leading. He's the one who grows the fruit in our lives. So each week this summer, we're going to look at another one of those 9 fruit of the Spirit. Today, I'm going to begin with the very first one that is mentioned, and that is love. And it is the most important one. It's the one that all the others really hinge upon. And we know love is the greatest thing. It was God's love for us that sent His Son to save us upon the cross. And it is still His love that holds us when bad things happen, or we wander, or we get afraid. It is His love that we can always count on that sustains us. And it is His love that He most wants to grow in us, shaping our character. Greater love for God and for other people. And so I want to read from 1 John today. If you got your Bibles, 1 John 3:16, as well as 1 John 4:7-21. Beautiful verses here about love. So 1 John 3:16 says this: "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." And then chapter 4, beginning in verse 7 to the end of the chapter, it says this: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made known through us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He's given us His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. You know, I'm guessing that all of us have heard many sermons about love in our day. But I just want to open this here by asking you a question for you to think about. Since we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, can you see love in your life right now? Do you know how to give and receive love? Are you still learning? Do you know that you are very much loved by God? More than you can imagine. And what about the people around you? Would you say that you are loving them well lately? Maybe you could love better. We all could. But can you see the fruit of love in your life? Can you feel His Spirit in your life leading you and calling you in certain situations and circumstances to love that person or to show compassion over there or to forgive that person or to be generous with this one over here? You know, if I can speak freely and personally for a moment, I have always known that God loves me. I grew up in a loving home with loving parents. I grew up in a church and heard that God loves me all the time. I sang about His love. I've learned it from the Bible as I've studied and spent time in it. I've learned it from the cross and getting honest about my sins and knowing His forgiveness and thinking, how could He lay down His life for me? I've seen it there. I felt His love in my heart. Perhaps every day it has been there in me. I have not always loved Him well. Oh, I think I've, you know, sinned and struggled so many times, still can, but it's when I do and I still feel His love calling me back to Him that I'm blown away by it. How can He love me this much? His faithfulness and His goodness always there for me. Even in the hard times, He is there. And I do feel the Spirit moving me to greater love. The Bible says, you know, in the last days, the love of many is going to grow cold. And, well, I can feel that temptation like all of us can if we're watching the news and on social media and so many things wanting and trying to get us to hate. Wanting us not to care, but just think about our own self or something. But the Lord, I can feel Him. Always wanting and calling me to greater love for people. And sometimes I don't want to. Sometimes I harden my heart to protect my heart from getting hurt. Or I'm just done with it and want to just only think about what's best for me and bubble myself up in my own house and my own life. But that's not what God wants for me or for you. He keeps moving and nudging us towards greater love. There was a person who I really didn't like. I won't say hate, but I really didn't like them. And yet I felt the Lord moving in my heart towards them to forgive that person and see them like He does. Even though they hurt me or sinned against me or whatever, to know that I'm a sinner too that He loved. And this is just another broken person that He died for as well. But man, that was hard. But there was a moment this past year when I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. And I just had to go with Him on it. I had to feel that nudge of His Spirit. And I had to act in obedience to my Lord and not my flesh. And when I did, when I loved them and embraced them and really saw them, something broke in me. There was this giant release. Something painful that had a grip in my heart was touched by His healing hand. Love is powerful, and it's from God. David, when he was in a desert place, he wrote in Psalm 63 where he says in verse 3, Your love, Lord, is better than life. David ran to that desert for safety, but it became a place that he found God. And it was God's love that sustained him when everything in life seemed to be falling apart. He did not fall apart because the love of God held him together, reminding him who he was and who he was in God. God's faithfulness was there every day. His goodness, his care for him, his provision, watching over his life, his grace, his promises, never failing. Oh, how he loves us. God's love is the one sure thing in this universe. His love is like the air we breathe. Most days we don't even notice it, but it's keeping us alive. It's the foundation of our faith. God loves you. God loves me. And he died for me. His love saved me on the cross, sustains me every day after. Love is the core teaching in the character of God that we claim to believe in. 1 Corinthians 13, often called the love chapter, Paul speaks of God's love. He says, if we speak in the language of men and angels but don't have love, we're only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If we have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries of the world, possessing great knowledge or having faith that can even move mountains, but we do not have love, we are nothing. If we give all we possess to the poor, even give our life to martyrdom, but have not love, we gain nothing. It says love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy and it does not boast and it is not proud. Love is not self-seeking or easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes and it always perseveres. Love never fails. It says now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of all is love. Here's the truth. We cannot give what we do not have. Love comes from God. You have to receive it. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It is given by God first, offered and invited to you to take, and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. We are able to love. Why? Because he first loved us and poured it into our heart. His love comes first. Now you say, how do you know that God would love me? You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I have been. It doesn't matter. That's the incredible good news. God loves you. He loves you because it's who he is and because he made you, because you belong to him and you came from him in his heart and his mind thought you up before he even formed you in your mother's womb. We are loved by God every second and moment and day of our life. We are loved by God because it's who he is. And because what it says in Scripture about the cross, in 1 John 4:10, it says, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's what he did. It's what he showed. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. How do we know he loves us? The cross. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Romans 5 says it this way. It says, at just the right time when we were powerless or helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will someone die for a righteous person, but for a good person, someone might possibly die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While. At times we're afraid to show love to a person walking in sin, thinking that if we do, we'll communicate maybe an affirmation of bad behavior. But let us never forget that God showed us love in all of our bad behavior. He took the nails while we were still sinners. Our love for people can often be conditional or based on what they have done for us or what we want from them. But God's love is not like that. It's who he is. His love is every day. The purest and most giving and holy form of love. He is good even when we are not. He is faithful even when we are not. His love never fails. It's not sin affirming, but always us receiving. You all know that I love my wife. I talk about her all the time. But Carrie's the most wonderful person I know, the kindest and most forgiving and giving person I know. And she knows that I love her. But man, I fail to show it so many days. Isn't that the truth of marriage? Some days I can treat her well, other days I can treat her poorly. Even the people we love, we can't love well. Let alone our enemies. Holy cow. That's why we have to receive love from God into our heart and every day, because we can't give what we don't have. Love is a fruit of His Spirit. We rely and abide in the love of God every day, and He grows it more and more, what we need. Jesus said the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we can't do that. Only Christ can do that in us. He helps us love. And our scripture, it says this is how God showed His love to us. He sent His one and only Son in the world that we might live through Him. Live through Him. Even this is what it says. It says, this is how we know we live through Him. It is by the Spirit. It's so in line, you see, with the fruit of the Spirit discussion. It says we know and we rely on the love God has for us. For whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. It is God who does it. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that God creates in me. As I abide in Him, He daily moves me towards love, changes me in love, heals me, calls me to serve my wife better in love. Let her win the argument. Be gentle and kind to her. Lay down my life for her. I can't give what I don't receive. Christ has not only come to save me from my sins, but to fill me with His Spirit and show me and help me love every day. I know and rely on Him for this. 1 John 3:23 says, this is the command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. If you have Christ, love is already there. You got to now let it go and grow and let it out. Don't harden your heart as He nudges you and reminds you of your calling. Love as He has loved you. Three small points I want to give you today to think about this fruit of the Spirit. The first is this, that the love of God is seen throughout all the pages of the Bible, including the Old Testament. Too many times I hear people say that the God of the Old Testament is all judgment and wrath, whereas the God of the New Testament is all about love. But that's simply not true. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New. There's only one God. And God is holy, and God is true, and God is just. And those things don't contradict His love. They work all together in unity. God doesn't put His love aside to discipline us, nor does God put His holiness aside to love us. God disciplines those that He loves, and He loves people enough to tell them when they're doing wrong or sinning and needing to repent. God's love can be telling us tough truths we need to hear and start believing instead of the world's lies or following other idols or mistreating people. God loves us enough like a parent to teach us what is right and wrong, and to tell us when we're being unjust or selfish or just terrible human beings. God doesn't want us behaving badly. He created us to do good and love each other and do what is right. God's love is seen in His judgment against evil and sin and wickedness. Never is there a moment that God is not loving. Imagine if He had just accepted and affirmed all evil. How harmful and destructive that would be by those who are being oppressed by it. God's justice is love. God's righteousness is love. They all fit within it. They're not different things. If we can't see the love of God within everything God does, then our version of love is incomplete, because God is always love. God's love never could affirm evil behavior or accept sin. Love at times means a no. because what we want or feel is not good for us or right or holy. That's not the absence of love, but real love that loves you enough to speak the truth to you and help you see what is real and good. That what we're doing might be wrong. Love is thinking the best and wanting for another what God wants for them, because God is good and loves all of us, and his will for us is best. And he has come to save us. Love wants all people everywhere to know him. Love doesn't mean I agree with you on everything you're doing, but it means I love you and I choose to walk with you because your sin is no greater than mine. We both lean and rely on the cross. His forgiveness and love for me has never left my side, so how can I leave yours? His love has never shut the door to me, so how can I shut the door to you? He has always been faithful to help and bring me back and be there like the prodigal's father, ready to receive me again and again when I stumble and fall, come back home all broken, weary, and worn. He runs out to me. How can I not run out to you and receive you as you return? He has never given up on me, so I won't give up on you. This is the love God has for us. The Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Jesus never affirmed sin, but was always with sinners. His love wasn't acceptance of what you did. It was just wasn't just a comfy hug, but it was seen in his radical commitment to sinful people all the way up to the cross for them. In the Old Testament, the main word for love for God was the Hebrew word hesed, and it meant loving kindness. It meant steadfast love. It is seen most in the covenants that God made with his people, how he kept them, how he kept his promise to Abraham and to the people of Israel, even when they didn't keep their promises to him. Even though Israel would be punished for its sin and disobedience and for turning to other gods, God would never leave them. God always showed up time and time again, calling them back to himself. I always think of the testimony I heard of a man who just kept going back and back to his addiction, and his addiction has a strong grip. And his friend and pastor, who had been a friend to him for decades through the battle, in and out of treatments and up and downs, one of the only ones who still cared about him after all the broken promises and relapses. Most had given up and pushed the guy out of his life. But this one pastor and friend didn't. He just kept being there. Well, the man relapsed again and was in his hospital bed after another near-death overdose. And he could hear footsteps coming down the hall and entering into his room. And sure enough, it was that same friend and pastor still showing up the day after. And he came into the room, and this guy said in his testimony, he didn't speak all the things he could have spoken to me. Instead, he just simply said, I'm so thankful you're alive. Are you ready to try again? He said something broke in me in that moment. After all the decades of this addiction, he says, in that moment, something in my heart changed. And he never went back to drugs. The love of God was seen in that person as they kept showing up for him. That loving kindness, that faithful commitment to the good and the best for someone. In the New Testament, that same word hesed is in the Hebrew is now agape in the Greek in the New. And it is translated love also. And it is different from the Greek word eros, which means romantic love, different from the Greek word phileo, which means the kind of love we have for our family, brotherly love. Agape is different. It means divine love. It's the love of God, which is selfless, sacrificial, thinks of others more than itself. It is merciful. It is looking for the highest good for that person. It's willing to make personal sacrifices for that person. And this is the love that we find in God seen in Jesus. He didn't think of himself. Everything he did was for you and me. He is the same God of the Old Testament. Jesus didn't ignore sin or sweep it under the rug. He made a whip turned over a few tables in the temple, called out the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He definitely called sin, sin. But he also so loved sinners. He would eat with them in their homes. He would hang out with them, even if religious people got all judgmental against him. And then he took up a cross for them. Oh, the love of God in Christ. This is the kind of real love God wants to grow in us. Second thing, though, I want to mention is that love is not a feeling, it is an action. The Holy Spirit is not interested in how you feel, but what you do. Love is an action. You may or may not have feelings of love, but don't let that stop you from doing love. God showed his love by sending his son to die for our sins. He literally took up a cross and put nails through his hands and feet for you because that is what it took to love you. God didn't just feel love for you or shout from the heavens, I love you. He showed it in the greatest possible way he could. He proved it. He did what love required. Love is action. John says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And then he immediately says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. And just in case we didn't get it, he adds verse 17, which says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love be in that of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, with actions and in truth. In this example, love is sharing what we have with those in need. He also says in 1 John 4:10, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister who they've seen cannot love God whom they haven't seen. He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must love his brother or sister. Again, love is an action. We reveal our love for God by loving them. Love is seen. It's not just a Bible study discussion or a feeling you got for certain people. In the book of James, it says pure religion that God our Father accepts is this, to take care of orphans and widows. That's love. Love is the action of compassion we give to others in need. I think of the parable of the unmerciful servant and how we're called to forgive just as we have been forgiven. It's the act of forgiveness towards those who have wronged us. Our verse says, if we claim to love God but hate our brother and sister, how can love of God be in us? It's a fruit, again, of the Spirit. The love of God in us is always going to be moving in us to care about the needs of others or to forgive others or to put somebody else first. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. How Jesus said a priest and a Levite was traveling down a road when they saw a man beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road. They saw him, they passed him by on the other side of the road. They didn't stop to help, they didn't take the time, or they didn't want to be seen as unclean. Whatever the reason, they did nothing. But Jesus said a Samaritan happened down the same road. When he saw the man, he stopped. He tended to the man's wounds, bandaged him, put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him, even leaving money and food and direction for the innkeeper to look after him until he got back, and said he would reimburse him for any extra expense. Jesus said, this is the one who is really loved. Then he said, go and do likewise. Jesus saw a hungry crowd. He had compassion on them. He told his disciples to feed them. They're all wrestling. How in the world are we going to do this? One, a young boy stands forward, gives to Jesus just what he has, 2 fish and 5 loaves. Jesus takes it, gives thanks, blesses it, sends it out, and it feeds 5,000. This is the kind of love that the Spirit wants to grow in our life. He wants us to care, that we would see people in need, even brothers and sisters who've wronged us, but that we would treat them like Jesus would, to feel the nudge of the Spirit and to love in action. What would it look like if we kept in this step with the Spirit and listened as we went about our day with the love that he puts in our hearts there? How would it change the way we are at home or with those that we meet along the way? What would we give out of what we have? Not just thinking about ourselves, but maybe taking time for people instead of always being in a rush. Maybe we would make time for our mother or our friend or our spouse just to show a little affection or a little attention. I love the quote of Mother Teresa, where she said, not all of us can do great things, but we all can do small things with great love. God's poured out his love into our hearts, and it wants to bear fruit in our life through our daily actions if we're truly led by him. You don't have to do a grand gesture. Just show up. Just make the call when he prompts you. Just stop by and give something you got. Just see a need and don't walk by it. Just forgive and show some grace that's been shown to you. A little bit of gentleness instead of the other. Give out of what he has given into you. Mother Teresa said, simple, everyday acts of kindness, such as listening and caring for the immediate needs of your family and community and serving others and showing dignity while centering it all on the love of Christ. This is the greatest thing we can do. I find that when I am motivated by love and thinking more about God's love for me and what I can maybe do for others, that's when my fears and worries are less. And that's what our scripture says, that perfect love casts out fear. Focusing on his love for me and how I am saved in Christ and that finished work of the cross, I don't need to worry. And then turning my thoughts away from me to helping others who are in need, that is the best cure for my anxiety. His love never fails. But then the last thing I want to mention is how we can nurture this fruit of love in us a little bit more. To see greater love grow in us like all fruit, we first got to surrender our life completely and our situation to Jesus Christ as Lord of it. And then spend time each day focusing on him. Take time every day to focus a little bit on Jesus and think about him and be in his word, even just a little bit. Read the stories of how he was with other people and how he feels about you, and dwell, meditate, think upon the love of God. Open your heart to it. Also pray for it. When you face someone who is hard to love, pray and ask God to help you love this person and to show you what to do that is best for them, not for you, but for them. And ask him to give you the strength that you don't have in you, to lay down your life for them, to do for them what he's done for you. Pray for it. And then just go do it. We grow in love as we love. We don't wait for the feelings. We obey. Agape is so much bigger than a feeling. It's doing what Jesus would do and what he told us to do. It is love in action. If you really want to grow in love, then love. Begin loving right where you are and with who he has placed right around you. Keep on loving. Look for places that you can serve in love, like a homeless shelter. Or call your grandmother. Spend some time with her every day. That's loving. Listen to your coworkers and really hear what's going on in their life so that you know how better to pray for them. That is love. Pray for your enemies, that God would give you some kind of passion to do good to them. That is love. Start there. Just do something. Whatever he lays on your heart to show greater love, you must love. Begin as the Spirit prompts you and watch your heart begin to change. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.